and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Dengue is still listed as a neglected tropical disease. And despite an estimated 400 million infections each year, there is no specific treatment for dengue and severe dengue. So far, the only strategy adopted to reduce the burden of dengue is vector control. So in order to accelerate development of a treatment, the Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative recently formed the Global Dengue Alliance with several institutions in dengue endemic countries, including Malaysia's Ministry of Health. Now, the mission of this alliance is to accelerate R&D on dengue therapeutics and to deliver a new treatment for dengue within 5 years. Joining me on the show to discuss this further is Jean-Michel Pidaniel. He's the director of Southeast Asia at the Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative, better known as DNDI. Jean-Michel, thank you for joining me on the show today. Tell us a little bit about the Dengue Global, the Global Dengue Alliance, and what it was formed for. Why was there a need for it?
So I think the what's important to see is that so far most of the research on dengue has been led by non-endemic countries. It's been led by research institutes mostly located in the, what let's call it, the global north. And we felt it was important to have, and it's the first one, the first such alliance, which is actually led by endemic countries. So we are talking here of Brazil, India, Thailand, and Malaysia, who are countries where we have very strong relationship with the R&D network. And we felt this researcher had an understanding of dengue as a disease that was underused, and we needed really ensure that they were driving the agenda for research on dengue. And that's why we felt this alliance was needed, is useful, and we created it. And in fact, we had a lot of support from the four countries in creating this initiative.
Right. Well, it still boggles my mind that dengue is, still categorized as a neglected tropical disease. I'm wondering, Jean-Michel, if you could help us understand why the treatment of dengue dengue treatment has been relatively neglected, and what have been the consequences of that neglect?
So the main model for drug development today is what we call big pharma. So the big pharmaceutical companies. And most of these, all of these big pharmaceutical companies are located in higher income countries that do not have dengue or did not have a high burden of dengue. And therefore, this is where the neglect is coming. Yeah? Neglected tropical diseases are usually diseases that affect many people, but they all come from, let's say, low and middle income countries. And before were considered as not worthy, if you want, aiming at the tourism market. It's aiming at people from high-income countries traveling to endemic countries. So this is why dengue is considered as a neglected tropical disease, because the amount of R&D to find a treatment was very limited until today.
All right. So when we think about what the Global Alliance can achieve, what do you foresee as some of the main challenges in the current strategies of dengue management and what the Alliance is hoping to overcome?
Yeah. The first thing we have to understand is there will be no magic bullet when it comes to dengue. We need vaccines. We need vector control, we need prevention, and we also need treatment. So we have some vaccines coming up, which are excellent. We are actually working and talking a lot with the company producing those vaccines. They have encouraged us to develop this alliance because they also see the need for treatment. And I think vector control, I live in Malaysia, so obviously I'm aware of the mosquito problem, and we still have to fight. I still see it every day in my home, at my friend's home, where you have this stagnant water, which nobody cares about. And unfortunately, that's really where mosquitoes can develop. In fact, there are many areas of the countryside or the forest in Malaysia where people are surprised there are no mosquitoes. But there are no mosquitoes because there is no water. And usually, many times, humans bring that water, which allow for the mosquito to develop. This is why dengue is also a very big urban problem. It's not just actually a countryside or jungle problem. It is also a major urban problem because of human. So vector control will remain important. Vaccines, excellent tool, but they have their own limitation. And so we need treatment. And so far we have nothing.
Right. Okay, so we need all the weapons we have in this arsenal to fight dengue from, you know, vector control, vaccines, and also therapeutics. Can I ask you, that reminds me of COVID-19. You have to have multiple weapons used to fight against COVID-19. Are there public health lessons that we can take from the pandemic that we can apply in this scenario of creating more weapons to use against dengue?
So the idea of the alliance came from two experiences. The one was the work we did here in Malaysia with the Ministry of Health to develop a treatment for hepatitis C, where the leadership of the Ministry of Health was very inspiring. And this is something we wanted to replicate in the Dengue Alliance, endemic countries leading rather than us. The second thing is definitely COVID-19 response lesson learned. And there has been there's also been very little found in terms of treatment for COVID-19. The similar issues as with dengue, you know, the window of opportunity to bring in an effective treatment is limited to the first few days when patients are infected. So what we saw as the NDI during the COVID-19 is that there was a lot of similar researches done in all countries in the world. Malaysia did it, Thailand did it, France did it, UK did it, you know, we all did it, the US did it, everyone did it, but there was not enough collaboration. One of the things that is very crucial in terms of drug development is sharing data, the availability of data. You learn from that data. And that's what this alliance is doing. So it's definitely a lesson learned from COVID. Let's put the data together. We will go faster. And that's the first lesson we've learned from COVID-19. The other thing we have learned from COVID-19 is for dengue, we will probably have to change the way people seek treatment, people think about treatment for dengue, as we did with COVID-19. So the rapid test, the cell testing that we all did for COVID-19, is probably something we will have to do and replicate for dengue. I have a fever, I self-test myself. If it's dengue, I rush to seek treatment. This is going to mean a lot of investment in kind of a public health message, and we also need to have the diagnostics, affordable diagnostic that everyone can buy and use.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking with me, Jean-Michel Pirignan from Southeast Asia, from the Drugs at Neglected Diseases Initiative, DNDi. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. The Ministry of Health has joined forces with the Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative, DNDi, and other dengue endemic countries through a South-South collaboration that aims to develop safe, affordable, and effective treatments for dengue fever within 5 years. Joining me now is Datuk Dr. Zulkifli Ismail. He is the chairman of the Dengue Prevention Advocacy Malaysia, which is an independent group of non-governmental medical and community organizations. Dr. Zulkifli is also an executive committee member of the Malaysian Pediatric Association. Dr. Zulkifli, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I wanted to focus on the aspects of prevention and control, because if I understand correctly, the only strategy currently adopted to reduce the burden of dengue is vector control, so fogging, fumigation, avoiding stagnant water and the like. How effective are those strategies? Are there limitations to the ways, to vector control measures as a way of reducing the burden of dengue?
Yeah, thank you, Minister. Thank you for inviting me this time. You know, vector control, we've been doing vector control now for decades, and we haven't seen very much in terms of improvement. We've got the usual fumigation and all that, but there are new methods of vector control as well, which includes the Wolbachia infected mosquitoes, which actually will transmit, create mosquitoes that will not breed or will have problems transmitting the virus. And there are a lot of other areas of vector control, as well as environmental control with regard to engineering and architecture and all that, where you don't have collections of water for the breeding of mosquitoes. There's still a lot to go in terms of vector, in terms of control of vectors. There are also other methods of controlling the disease, because as you know, dengue, it's not a simple thing like in smallpox or chickenpox or even COVID. It's just it's just the virus and the person involved. But here we have the intermediate vector, which we also need to control. So it's vector plus virus plus environment plus people's attitudes.
What do you mean by people's attitudes, Doctor?
Well, we've been talking about breeding places. We've been talking about collections of water and all that. That has gone into, people have heard it through one ear and goes out the other ear. And they actually, they don't practice it. So what we need is for people to be more committed and actually to take that responsibility that these areas are theirs, and they have to actually make sure that these areas are dengue free.
Mm. Okay, can I ask you about other areas of prevention and diagnosis of the disease? When we think about COVID-19, we had the masks to protect us, we had personal hygiene, social distancing, we also had vaccines, and now we have therapeutics for it. What about dengue? Does dengue have tests, rapid tests like COVID? Does it have ease of diagnosis the way that we have come to learn with COVID? Are there avenues to on this front that might increase the way how quickly dengue is diagnosed?
Yes, we have rapid tests which are available, and this is to detect the NS1 antigen. And also to detect the antibodies of both IgM and IgG, which will tell you where exactly in the disease process you are at the moment. So if you've got an infection that's recent, then we know that the NS1 will be positive. The main research now with regard to these testing methods is to make this NS1 testing more sensitive and to detect it earlier. So at the moment, we can detect it in the first 4 days of fever already. The issue here is we're trying to get doctors to use these tests and get it into every clinic in town or every clinic in the country, both private and government clinics, so that we can make a diagnosis early and we can start treatment early and we can look for the signs early. The thing about dengue prevention and dengue control, it's not about trying to reduce the disease and all that. It's also trying to reduce mortality and severity. So people will get infected, but the thing is, we have to detect it early, start treatment early. We don't have a specific medicine or drug for it. But if you manage the fluids well, you monitor the patients well, these patients will survive. And the aim is actually to get that mortality to zero by 2030. Well,
that's the aim. So early detection and access to proper medical care will greatly lower fatality rates of severe dengue. Doctor, why? What are the barriers or the challenges in getting that early detection test or diagnosis test to more clinics, more primary care providers? What's holding that effort back?
Yeah, I think one is we have to make sure that every doctor knows that these kits are available. Number two is we have to make sure that the kits are available in large enough numbers to be distributed to all these clinics. And with the volume available, the cost should actually come down. So we're hoping that, you know, the companies will also consider this. And this is something that is for the good of the nation. So if they can reduce the cost and we let doctors know that these tests are available and everybody does it whenever that they suspect that it's dengue, it will make a lot of difference to reducing deaths in dengue.
Can patients ask for this kit for them to be tested if they present with dengue symptoms?
Of course. I mean, they should. They should ask the doctor, "Doctor, is it possible that this is dengue?" That will click something in the doctor and you know, hopefully he'll take the test. Yeah, and it's so simple. The test is so simple. You can have it ready in half an hour or so.
Excellent. Thank you so much for speaking to me. That was Datuk Dr. Zulkifli Ismail, Chairman of Dengue Prevention Advocacy Malaysia. We're going to take another quick break here or consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hello, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Now, towards Malaysia's goal of eradicating the dengue epidemic by 2030, the Ministry of Health is now part of the Global Dengue Alliance. This to develop a dengue therapeutics within 5 years. Now, joining me on the show is Dr. Amy Fazlin Said Mohammed. She's the head of the Herbal Medicine Research Center under the Institute for Medical Research. Dr. Amy, thank you for being on the show today. I understand that you're part of the team, the research team on the Global Dengue Alliance from Malaysia. Can you tell me a little bit about Malaysia's role in the Global Alliance? What benefits do you see in this approach, in terms of offering ways to address the disease?
Okay. Currently, this Dengue Alliance is the South-to-South Cooperation, and this is formed by the Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative, the NDI, Malaysia, Thailand, India, and Brazil. And if you look at the four countries, we are the countries that actually face the dengue diseases. Mm-hmm. So the essence of this project is to repurpose the drugs that is already in use for, they are used for different indication, for different disease. But as this already has data, safety data, so we need to only look at the efficacy or how good it is as anti-dengue. One is as anti-dengue. So what we do in our in IMAR is to test these drugs in vitro. So this is to test it on cells. And then if it shows the antiviral study, then we go into the clinical study. So that's one part. And the other part is also an efficacy on what we call the host-directed therapy. So this is where we actually looked at the immune system. So targeting the drugs that targets the immune system of certain parts of it. As we know with dengue, some will get simple fever, joint pains, and some will bleed, go into organ failure. So this is where we wanted to look for the what pathway can we stop that protects. Because like it's really weird that what initially protects the body now attacks its own body. So right. This is what is important. Okay, what benefit that we can see here is that the collaboration actually opens up capacity of sharing knowledge, skills, techniques, because like previously we work in silos and now we actually pull together. And when we pull together and actually do our own, because like we test it on our own local dengue virus. So that means that in the end, the four countries are going to have, and also the NDI, because they do test on other places as well, we are going to have a large amount of data set. So if we test a certain drugs, then if it's concur in another country with that local strain, then it provides us with a unique perspective, because when compared, it is an overall insight regarding the drugs itself.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful that there is this kind of sharing of data, of knowledge. Can I ask you, what are the existing knowledge gaps when it comes to treating dengue? I'm wondering, what is it that we know we don't know when it comes to dengue? What would you say are the most pressing areas of research for dengue?
Okay, basically, like what we said, the knowledge gap is that we don't have any treatment. We don't have any treatment that kills the dengue virus. We don't, it's not like a lot of research is being done, but it's not out yet. And even vaccines, we see that there is a problem. This is because dengue is such a multifaceted disease that it's not that easy to pinpoint. Like if you have diabetes, you can just treat give insulin or just add on certain things. But with dengue, you've got to be sure that's the virus that you can kill, but that is at a very short period. So this gap, even we are not really sure, like, because like some people the virus will go very fast, some people it will grow in several days. So when do we treat? So this is a big gap that we have to cross before we can really treat properly. Okay. So that's one.
I'm sure there are many others, but I'm also curious because you're the head of the Herbal Medicine Research Center, and I'm curious to know how herbal medicine research complements modern medicine in the fight against dengue.
Okay. We have worked on Carica papaya, and what we find is that it assists in reducing the symptoms. So like if you got aches and pain, and those who took Carica papaya juice would say that, oh, it goes away faster than usual. And also we do know that herbs are known to actually improve immune system. And this is what we call immunomodulation. But again, this is something that we have to ensure how these herbs actually provides this immunomodulation as well. So it is across the herbs actually, but there are some that is much better than that. So this is one way, because like if you're just taking herbs and if it is safe and things like that, so it helps a lot, because it can just be taken as food as well if it's within the right dose.
Okay. So given where we're at with all the research into therapeutics, what are the barriers to moving forward? I'm wondering the challenges when it comes to developing effective and affordable and accessible treatments for dengue. Are there ways to recognize the challenges and overcome them?
Okay. I'll go for the broad one first. It's the cost. You know, the cost of the R&D. This is especially in therapeutic development. So I think we need to have this support, because like sometimes in research, when you try 1, 2, 3 and one might work, second might not work, third might work a bit more. So you need to ensure that even though it's a negative result, it's still a result. And then you cannot just say that it is a failure. And like sometimes what happened is that the cost would be taken off because you didn't actually get to where you wanted. We have to remember Alexander Graham Bell did a lot before he found what he needed to find. So I think this is what we needed, the cost and the support. And also the fact that we needed the staying power to follow through and finishing it. Because like if it's just flavor of the month, because like as we know, this is the current problem, like you cannot just do that, because dengue has been there for a while. It's similar to COVID, but COVID found certain things. And it was done in such a spectacular shorter time. And we need this with dengue. And I think this is what I would pick as the biggest challenge.
Okay. So the Global Dengue Alliance wants to come up with therapeutics within 5 years. Is that a realistic timeline based on how far along we are with the R&D?
Okay. Basically, because like usually with repurposing of the drugs, we already have certain data. And I've already mentioned before, we only need the efficacy data in the preclinical side before we embark on the clinical part. So in order to get there, the clinical side has got, even because we have those data and it has been used in human, so we can actually go into phase two. Then we don't have to do the phase one anymore because it has been used, it has been done, unless we are going to use a different dose. But I don't think we would do it. It's a realistic time. It's just that we have to ensure that we find a good one.
Excellent. Dr. Amy Fazlin from the Institute for Medical Research there, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.